is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. And he's over in, where are you tonight?
Washington, D.C.
And what'd you do today, Drew?
I got from Syracuse to here. And then tomorrow I'm going to the Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity.
That is a party. Good time. Hey, Engineer Michelle, can you turn my cans down a little bit? What? It's all over the place. With Chris, I got to crank the thing to 14 in order to hear my heartbeat. And with you, I can barely touch it. I'm blasting my eardrums out.
So I watched the first half hour of your show.
Oh, you did?
Fantastic.
Really, Drew?
Yeah, you were excellent.
Really?
Yes. I've heard some of the things before, mind you, but excellent. It seemed very, very comfortable.
Yeah, maybe a little too comfortable because Act 1, which was supposed to go like 12 minutes, went 17 minutes.
That's all right. We're waiting on Serena Williams.
Where did you watch it through?
Over here at CBS.
No, I mean, at what point did you turn it off?
Because I hate to interrupt, but it sounds like hell.
It does sound like hell, but and his compliments.
We got to try. I know you want to hear that.
All the electronic haze.
We have some problems. Okay, if you could go to a call, and I'm just going to pull Drew down, because I mean, it sounds like you guys are at some kind of stadium.
Pull Drew down. Drew, you save up those compliments, my friend. All right. You've never sounded better in my mind. Wesley and Greg are both here from Puddle of Mud. Good to see you guys.
Nice to have you.
Sorry you had to sit through the ass lick in there, but that doesn't happen very often. I rarely get a grunt from Dr. Drew. Puddle of Mud was in Iraq. And what do they call it over there, by the way? Do you know?
Iraq.
Yeah. And get up on your mic there,
sorry,
Greg.
About that.
That's all right. You just pull the whole thing at you. You guys were there, and we've been talking about this for a while, by the way, and we're planning on taking some calls from Iraq tonight as well. But you guys were there doing a concert, like for the USO, right, or for the troops?
Yes.
And is everything for the troops through the USO, or could Puddle of Mud just go there and put on a concert and come home?
This particular show wasn't through the USO. It was through the American Forces Network.
Mm-hmm.
An AKA Productions.
It was a different kind of company or whatever that did it. But, yeah, it was. It's all for the soldiers, and it was really an amazing experience to actually go over there and...
So take me through the schedule. You leave where, when? I mean, first plane you get on.
We flew to Germany from New York.
Mm-hmm. That was what day?
No, we went September 9th.
So that's, I mean, is that like on a Monday or do you remember? You guys are rock stars.
We flew from
do you know
LA
what
to Frankfurt.
I might not have eaten that day.
LA to Frankfurt.
LA to
right?
Frankfurt. Frankfurt right? to Kuwait. Kuwait on a C-130 cargo plane into Tikrit, Iraq, which is Saddam Hussein's,
right.
like, you know, where he
home
grew up.
Stronghold.
And we flew into the base there at an airfield that was, you know, they were training, like, Iraqi pilots to fly, and that was Saddam Hussein's little, you know, airfield base, whatever
right.
you call it. And we played a soccer stadium that was basically blown to bits, and there was still some, you know, grandstands left standing
right.
there that all the soldiers, you know, there's about nearly 2,000 soldiers, you know,
mm-hmm.
in full gear, and they were just sitting there waiting for us to get there and play the show for them.
And the C-130 is a prop plane, right?
Yeah,
no,
it should
yeah,
be.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah
right.
it's got yeah, it's a prop plane. It's got yeah, and it's just a big cargo plane, and it's just you
yeah,
know, it's pretty
workhorse.
Crazy. They have to come in like combat landing style, and
really,
yeah, it was
yeah,
weird.
That was a little rough.
It was like a roller coaster ride, you know,
and
just in case there's bombs being.
And when
blasted,
you're flying
and,
over Iraq, what are you looking at? Is it just nothing but desert?
Pretty
a
much.
A lot of water, actually, for a yeah. desert. A lot of rivers and.
Oh, really?
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but not. I mean, there's not. There's not.
Hot as hell.
There's no boats, you know,
right. going around. Sailing
there's
really.
No sailboats. There's no fishing boats. There's nothing in
no
the
personal
the
water. Watercraft. No, no guys on ski-doos or jet skis. No. None
you,
of that.
You'd think somebody might be jet skiing or something.
You'd think there'd be a lot of houseboating going on over there, especially, you know, around spring break and stuff like that. Kids getting pretty crazy.
Yeah, right.
So you're out there, and so you fly. Now, I always ask this to people, and sometimes I have an answer, sometimes I don't. What surprised you the most? Was there something that you thought just caught you off guard, or some stereotype that you had that didn't turn out to be true, or vice versa?
I think whenever we were riding the Blackhawks and you're flying over everything, and like everybody's like cheering you on when you're flying, like all the kids are running around and waving at you, and the
oh, really?
People are waving
the,
at
the
you.
Citizens.
Yeah,
if I
just
ride.
Like, you know, they see you and they're giving you thumbs up.
Now, they're not giving puddle of mud a thumbs
no,
up.
No,
they're
no,
just
no.
They're seeing American aircraft.
I don't think we like didn't even go gold.
Well, you only have to sell like 11 units to go gold over there.
Yeah.
But Sultan. So the citizens and the people of Iraq are, when they see like a Cherokee helicopter flying over, they give it a Black Hawk, they give it the thumbs up.
From what I saw, but I mean that was just one trip, and that
right.
Was,
there's not a lot of like houses or, you know, shelter.
They live pretty rough. I mean,
yeah.
Saddam, we went inside his palace and stuff and saw how he rolled.
He did.
It was pretty heavy.
He did.
You know, he was rolling good, and then when you see like how his people, you know, his people were treated, well, it's pretty rough.
Membership has its privileges, fellas. I mean, that's the perks of dictatorship.
He had some perks.
But 30 palaces, you know.
Hold on, Drew?
Yeah.
You coming
what
back?
What up, Drew?
I'm trying.
Hey, guys.
How are you,
brother?
We're talking sound. Iraq.
I heard everything. I
think you're sounding better now, man. Everything's good.
All right.
So should I resume my ass licking? No. I mean,
no.
Hold on to it, Drew. And don't let an ounce of it escape from your mason jar. Let's just finish Iraq talk. And I'm going to make a note here. Kiss Adams Tukai. Okay. All right. So you're flying around in Blackhawks, which is kind of cool. But why?
Because that's the transportation that we took from the airfield and to create mm-hmm. to the palaces that Saddam Hussein, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
did you stay?
Convoys are tricky.
Did you stay at the palace?
We didn't stay.
We walked through it and we did basically a meet and greet at the palace kind of mm-hmm. thing. It was, we met all the soldiers that couldn't come to the concert that
mm-hmm.
we played.
Mm-hmm.
So we went over there and met them, and that's really the only way we can kind of get there the safest way.
Right. Convoys get ambushed.
Yeah, that seems to be the, you know, the trend. So we
right.
want to go that route. So we took the Blackhawks in. Not like we really had an option, but I mean, it was way cooler.
Yeah.
They fired off a couple rounds too.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I think they kind of wanted to show us a good time while
they
we
showed
were
us
there,
that they were like, you know, so. They said,
yeah,
you
they're
know,
showing off a little.
They were showing off a little bit, going, you know, dropping it, and
yeah,
they go a lot really fast for a helicopter.
They're
like over 100, so I wasn't.
Yeah.
That.
You know, the thing about how I went on one helicopter one time. And the thing you don't realize sometimes is how fast you're actually going. And I was on the kind that didn't have the door on it, and we're skimming along the beach, and some kid was waving at me. He was like, "Hey, buddy," my shoulder almost came out of socket. Like, oh, you're going 110 miles an hour. You stuff your arm out the window, your arm comes off. So how long were we there in total?
We were there for 2 days in Iraq.
Right.
Talking to the mic, guys.
They're in there. Stay in that mic, Greg. And
hello.
There you go.
Out of program, Michelle.
Two days. And where'd you stay? You stay on the base?
The Holiday Inn.
We stayed at these little houses that were built for some of the members of the Bath Party, whatever.
Oh, really?
Whatever the hell that was.
Their general headquarters and different.
Right. Really?
Yeah, it was kind of like they were kind of blown
them,
up a little bit.
They called them the crack houses when we were there.
House.
So we were kind of like, okay, man, you know.
Like, and the whole deal, like cots, like we were all in one room and a bunch of cots. And
so you're roughing it.
Yeah,
so you played one concert at the soccer stadium,
right.
Did some meet and greet, got a look around, and got your ass out of there.
Yeah.
Smart.
Had some crab legs there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some shrimp.
Yeah, they cooked us a nice meal.
You got a sizzler over there in Crete. Well, and it must have felt good, right? I mean, you're glad you did it?
Awesome.
Yeah, it's just one of these things where, yeah, I could imagine when someone first approached you with it, it'd be like, huh, what? But, you know, for the rest of your life, you can say you were there.
Yeah,
it's nice.
And also, it was relaxing. When we got on the flight, Kenny Mayne from Sports Center was on the flight to Kuwait, so that was...
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, it made me feel comforted.
What the hell's he doing out there?
He was doing Sports Center in Kuwait.
Wow. They really, I'll tell you, you know, it used to be, well, it's just, you know, Bob Hope, and Charo got to go to Vietnam. And now it's opened up. They got sports announcers, they have comedians.
I advise it to everybody.
I know.
They'll probably be calling you next, Adam.
Jeff Ross, the king of the roast comedian, called and said, yeah, me and Drew Carey are going over there in like a week. You want to come with us? I was like, listen, my wife's going to get pissed off. I'm too big a puss. I'm staying home. It's like, comedians just going over there and
we
doing
comedian,
their thing.
Actually, we had a comedian.
Titus went over there with.
Oh, Chris Titus went over there.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, I think he was talking to us about going over there.
About it. Yeah.
All right, Drew. Now that we've spoken to Puddle of Mud about the Iraq experience, go ahead and slather some ass stuff. And first off, I don't want to build people up too much. I hosted the Late Late Show tonight. I give it a 7. It went well, but not great.
How did the first half hour compare to the second half hour?
Second half was same as the first, I would say.
The first, I'd give it an 8-9.
Really?
Just because, listen, you're being tried on. You're not trying to hit, you know what I mean? You're there to hit a bunch of base hits and doubles and things. And that's all you did. You hit lots of real solid hits. Wow. And it was fun to watch. It was interesting. And they bleeped you.
Oh, they bleeped me.
They bleeped A-hole.
But I said A-hole.
I know. And then they actually put the beep over you.
I said A-hole.
I know. Well, you mentioned that to the lady with the whistle.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
All right. Yeah. They didn't bleep that part.
No. You said I said A. You didn't say A-hole. You said I say A. And they didn't bleep that out.
All right.
I know what you meant.
Well, thanks for watching, buddy.
And
for supporting.
I'm not done.
Sorry.
Novel, late night. You know what I mean? Even though I get to hear this every night, it's still it came through new and interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, not your usual.
Not
just
your usual fare. Yeah,
read the jokes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Drew.
Awesome. I'm interested.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, you gotta
that.
Watch
well,
it. I recommend maybe. It.
You can watch it tonight at like 12:30 or something after Letterman.
Yeah.
All right, now Drew, you're sounding bad again, brother.
Oh really?
I ask Anderson, but I can't tell if it's degrading
it's just a bad
as
line.
We go.
We'll fix that at the break. So just try not to talk too much, Drew. How about that?
Oh, God bless you. Thank you,
Drew. Do that knowing. Drew, you're at your best when you're doing the knowing grunt
or the nod.
Yes, the nod. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody's mastered the radio nod like Dr. Drew. He has a knowing nod, then he has a disapproving head shake, and
a shrug.
He has a shrug that he does. Yeah. Do the nod, Drew.
Hey, you know what? Better yet, let's play a song right now.
And then we'll come back. Oh, we should
play some,
but I still would like to see the nod.
I was just doing it. I was just
I'm sorry. Anderson jumped in. Okay, do the nod.
All right.
Ooh, nice. Now, do the shrug. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Now do the sort of, I'm not exactly sure what's going on. That sort of the dog when he catches you beating off. Do that one, sort of half turn. Yeah, there you go, Drew. That's it. That's my bread and butter. All right, and
scary? I'm actually sitting here doing these things.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Drew's in Washington, D.C. It's tomorrow, and he's doing the stupid, the dog caught you beating off head turn. All right, hang on, Drew. We're going to play a song. Yes? Yep. Anderson, this is a delightful idea. Little Puddle of Mud action for you over here off of Life on Display. And it's called Spin You Around. Michelle, give me the finger, baby, when we're back. Yeah. Just sitting there enjoying yourself. You got a job to do. Give me the point. Engineer Chris gives me the pow. All right. All right. Hey, Puddle Mud, everyone. Life on Display. Name of the CD, Wesley and Greg here representing the band.
What up? What up?
Drew in D.C. Yes, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Did we get your technical difficulties straightened out?
You tell me. How's the sound?
I think it sounds better.
Yeah, good.
All right. You ready to rock?
Let's go.
All right. Alisa?
Yeah?
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
Hey, I just wanted to say...
I'm just laughing because Drew sticks the little Post-it sticker onto the call he wants next. And even though he's been gone for 2 days, I just go to the one that the sticker was on from, like, last Friday. Like, oh, that's must be line two we're going to. Yeah, this thing got blown onto the screen, like, 3 days ago. All right. But why not? Why not start with Alisa from Santa Cruz? Go ahead, baby doll.
Hey, I just wanted to say I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
And I was wondering about giving a blowjob without a condom as far as if the guy comes in your mouth and you swallow. Can you get AIDS or any other STDs doing that?
All the usual STDs, absolutely. And you needn't even swallow them.
The
swallowing makes your risks higher. There are bloodborne diseases like HIV that suddenly do. It has been proven that you can catch it that way. It's not an easy way to get it, but you can. Mm-hmm. And so you get gonorrhea, chlamydia, everything else. It's good times.
Yeah.
So is it easier to get it as far as vaginal sex or oral sex, or is it the same risk?
It's a little worse vaginally.
A little worse.
But basically
Why?
The same thing.
A little more because mucosal area?
Yeah. Well, the mouth is not a hospitable environment for things like HIV, you know, the human immunodeficiency virus, things
oh,
like
really?
That.
Oh, really?
But if you're swallowing, it gets in the esophagus, and the esophagus, no problem. It's good times.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah.
That's why I keep one of those sink strainers down in my throat. I don't want the big stuff to get in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What about if you're going down on a chick?
Yeah, what about it, Drew?
You can get syphilis, herpes. If you get a squirt, a discharge,
Got any results. Yeah, no, don't worry about that. Yeah, detached retina. Yes, Drew. If you get a hard enough squirt.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Corneal abrasion.
Oh yeah. All right, Alisa.
All right, thanks.
Hey, have a good times. All right. Let's see, Marissa.
Melissa.
Melissa.
Yeah.
All right. What's up, Melissa?
Okay. I was in a relationship, or I have been in a relationship.
Hold on a second. It says Marissa up here, but we have a Melissa. Do we really need a Marissa?
I know.
Let's not complicate things.
Tell
Guys
me.
Don't really monkey with this. You know, there's no Dave and Diz. You know, it's just there's Dave, and then you move on to Nick.
And Div.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't. There's no. I don't know what the male equivalent to Melissa and Marissa are, but it's unnecessary. There can be millions of Melissas, and the world will still turn. All right, go ahead, Melissa.
Okay, I've been with this guy for about 2 years, off and on the last 6 months. We broke up about for a month, like 2 months ago, and. In that relationship, the original relationship, the guy I was with 2 months, we weren't sexually active, but I was before, and so was he. When we broke up a couple months ago, I was sexually active again, and it hurt a lot. Like, not like losing your virginity soreness, it was like stabbing, like pain. I've been checked more than once in the past, like, 6 months, and I've come up perfectly clean.
Good.
My only worry is that, like, I don't want it to hurt like that with him. Because we were starting to, we're back together, and we figured maybe all of our problems were due to the fact that we weren't, you know, letting out our aggressions in sexual manners. I don't know, but,
You don't know. That's true.
I don't know if this is, like, just, like, a fluke, or if there's something, like, wrong with me or anything. I know I'm perfectly clean.
All right, all right.
It's just nerves. Nerves. It's probably nerves. Probably some sort of vaginal spasm, you know, vaginismus, something like that. And when you get over the nervousness, you'll be fine.
Vaginal spasm.
I had that first day of high school, I remember.
You had your spasm
so
of the vagina.
Keyed up. I had the vaginal spasm. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I was nervous. I hadn't been away from home. You know, my mom dropped me off. And I had a vaginal spasm right there. Right on the sidewalk. In front of North Hollywood High. Yeah, the VS right on the sidewalk there. It was tough. But I got over it.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? All right, Drew, you sound remotely better, but Melissa sounded like fried hell. So I don't know what that is. And now you sound good, and then you start going south.
Ew.
Hold on a second. Let me talk to Lauren over here, see what she sounds like. Lauren?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Puyallup, Washington.
Mm. Puyallup.
Ooh. What? Drew, that just sounded like Staticburg to me. Hold on a second. Everybody, hold on.
I heard that. I heard it loud and clear.
All right. I heard her, too, although it was a sort of gibberish-sounding town she was from.
Yes. Yeah, Puyallup.
But I'm trying to find out. Let's just give towns numbers, by the way. We don't have to get all creative with the stuff no one can pronounce. And like I said, it doesn't need to be 15 Rochesters, for instance. It'd just be one, and then everyone else gets a number.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Lauren?
Yeah?
Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, your problem is your boyfriend's penis feels like it has a broken spot in the middle.
Yeah, like, when I'm on top, it happens most when I'm on top, but, like, when I'm coming back down,
hold on a second.
You need to turn your radio down.
What's going on? Somebody typing or popping popcorn? What is that, Drew?
No.
You're not typing, are you?
No.
What is that typing sound I hear?
I heard that earlier.
Yeah, I did, too.
Yeah.
I ignored it. I thought maybe Drew was emailing somebody.
Minutes.
He likes to, you know, multitask. But, it's coming from your end, Drew. Do you know what that is?
Is this it? You hear that?
Hello?
No, this was typing. Okay. And when Anderson said coming from your end, he didn't mean the line. He meant your ass.
Oh, now I understand.
Yeah. Okay. Does your farting sound like typing? No. All right, hold on, Lauren. We got to take a break.
Okay.
All right. Anderson, weave your magic, baby doll. You got 4 minutes. We'll take a little break. Puddle Mudd in studio tonight. Drew over in Washington, D.C., and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. tonight. Wesley and Greg are both here tonight.
Hello.
From Puddle of Mudd.
Hey.
Whoop. A little belch here. Life on Display, name of the CD. Drew.
Yeah.
You'll be addressing who tomorrow and where?
No, tomorrow I'm going to a conference on national, it's put on by the National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity. And then Friday, I'm the end of the conference, the keynote speaker.
Oh, really?
I've been working on this talk for a long time. Like a month, 2 months.
Headliner.
Yeah, it's freaking me out. Yeah, I'm a headliner, exactly.
Feature.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of nerds warming up for him. Ironically, guys have never gotten laid, speaking about sexual addiction.
Yeah.
Well, they are addicted to it, but...
They're addicted to other people's sexual addictions. Yeah.
They're addicted to the thought of it.
Drew, how much and by the way, I've never had a job that involved conferences, but it always sounds appealing.
No, no.
You know?
Yeah. No.
It does. No?
No. Oh, no. Well, I mean, this is a good one, but...
Is it at the Hyatt or something?
It's on Capitol Hill. Yeah, it's right across the street from the Hyatt, in fact.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you from that area, Greg?
No, I just... We stay in Hyatts and stuff like that.
They're always conferences.
Yeah, it's always a conference.
Puddle of Mudd's there. There's got to be a sexual addiction.
That'd be due to the conference
rooms. No, we never had that conference.
They have.
Oh, okay. Well, here's all I'm saying, Drew.
Yeah.
It seems like it seems like a good time, a little schmoozing, you know, some free food, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. It's not. No. They're not like entertainment meetings.
No.
All business. All business.
All right. Let's talk to. Oh yeah. Where were we? We're speaking to Lauren.
Lauren.
That's right. Lauren.
Yeah.
19.
Yeah.
All right. So your boyfriend's Pepe has a flat spot.
Well, like when you look at it, it doesn't look like anything is wrong. But when like, we're having sex when either he goes to go back in or I'm on top and I come back down, it'll, like, bend in a spot. It's like there's no, it seems like there's no support almost.
Well, no, the bending isn't normal. There's always a certain amount of bend.
No, you mean, no, it's kind of, it's a lot. It, like, bends a lot. Like, it'll almost bend, like, to, like, I wouldn't say, like, a 90-degree angle, but, like, maybe 75.
Does he get fully erect?
Whoa.
Yeah, he gets fully hard and everything, but, like, if it bends just a little bit, he says it doesn't hurt, but if it bends a lot, like, he says it hurts, which I understand, but he'll, like, completely...
So, hold on a second. Like, if I take my pinky and I just bend it back a little bit, it's not... thing, but if I actually peel it back so it touches
it's
top
like
of my palm,
jointed, but
then it hurts.
Erected.
Hmm.
Double penis.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe there's nowhere left to go for Pepe.
Hey, Drew?
I was just thinking, weren't we going to take calls from Iraq tonight?
I thought we were, but we took a couple calls from Iraq on Monday night and then didn't take any tonight. Yeah, I don't know what that is. Are we waiting for them? Oh, I don't know. We got to get those folks to pick up the phone over there. You know,
instead we're talking about a penile knuckles.
Yeah, they got bigger fish to fry over there, Drew.
In Iraq.
Yeah.
Than talking to Bottle of Mud. No way.
Bottle of Mud. Lauren.
Yeah.
I know what you meant.
Did he ever have an injury to his penis where he sort of snapped it or cracked it or fractured it or anything like that?
Not that I know of. I asked him, and he said that, like, you know, he didn't, like, break his penis or anything like that.
There is such a thing. You can fracture the penis, but usually after you do that, it doesn't work so well. So it just sounds like he's not really getting fully erect or something, or it's just him, you know. Yeah, I know.
You can break it.
Yeah, you can break it. Why not? What do you think? There was a news release last night I was reading while we were on the air, Adam, and there's a guy in Spain or something that mistook his penis for the neck of a chicken. And chopped it off, and then his dog ate it.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't Germany or Florida.
I can't believe it.
The German one's my favorite.
Hey, what, Germany or Florida or the German penis?
No, the guy in Germany who cut the dude's penis off, and they both cooked the
one.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was a simpler time, wasn't it, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the days.
Those were the days.
Anyway, I have really nothing for Lauren. Yeah. Obviously, if he's having functional problems with it, he ought to get it seen. It does not sound like anything particularly serious.
All right, let's see. Ooh, Jason over here got in a wakeboarding accident. Now it hurts when he climaxes. Jason?
Yeah.
It's all funny. Tell it happens to you.
That's true.
Jason?
Yep.
You're 24?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You got a wakeboarding accident, huh?
Yep, I hit my head. I've never had a migraine before in my life, and I hit my head, and I got a migraine. And then I was in the car getting roadhead, and I almost got in a crash because I just started getting a really horrible migraine, and I had to stop.
Now, you're tying this head injury wakeboarding with the migraine during driving oral sex. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, but then after that, it happened every time I was about to ejaculate, I'd have a migraine. And sometimes I'd stick with it because, you know, I want to ejaculate. And then I just have to, like, curl up and be on, like, just a gut-wrenching migraine for about...
How long ago was the head injury?
About a month and a half ago.
Did you have a CAT scan or anything after that?
Mm-mm. It wasn't, it was just... I just got a really bad headache, like a migraine.
You might have done something to yourself. You got to get that checked out. Now,
What'd you do? Well, quiet down, Drew. What'd you do? Whack your head on the wakeboard or something?
No, on the water.
All right. Maybe you got a concussion.
Concussion or even intracranial bleed or subdural hematoma or something. But the fact is, yes, it's not uncommon for people to get migraineous-type headaches with orgasm or at the time of orgasm. But to have them suddenly after a head injury really concerns me. So get that worked out, yeah?
All right, but good times.
I'd be concerned if every time I... did my deal, it hurt.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how common that is as a benign condition, but to have it suddenly after a head injury makes me worry that something's really going on there.
Mm. Wakeboarding is a real white trash move, by the way.
Is that right?
It's got all the elements. It's got the lake and the river and the boat and the pull cord.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really step. It's one step above the inner tube that you get dragged behind.
Hey, I have a question.
Wesley's good at it, actually.
Oh, white trash. There you go.
We're a bit trashy.
He's no rabbi, this Wesley, I'll tell you. I've done wakeboarding myself. I'm just saying, if you do it...
Professionally?
No, I'm going to say more than
twice,
four times,
15 times a year.
Oh,
oh, whoa, wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's a lot, man.
All right. Well, not if you're into it, though. You probably, and you're good at it, you probably would do it quite a number of times a year. Yeah, okay. I'm going to lower that down to 9 times a year.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
How come, speaking of the white trash type of people, why didn't you have the guy on your show tonight on Late Late Show? Why didn't you have the guy on the CHP motorcycle?
Oh,
as one of the guys you don't want to watch your show.
Believe me, that the art department over there couldn't get anything.
Like, what?
You know, I told them 2 days in advance. They like showed up with nothing.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those. It's one of those. Okay. I didn't want to get going on it. Yes, right. Drew. That was the very first one. I did this bit, which is guys I don't want watching the show tonight. And number one guy was the guy who buys the police auction motorcycle, buys the cop helmet that comes with it, puts the black leather jacket on, and then drives around scaring the crap out of everyone with a roach right. in their ashtray.
Right.
They could not, find any, got to get a guy, put him in the helmet, and take a picture of him, you know?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
It's difficult.
No way.
Why?
No way. I don't know why,
Too busy wakeboarding, man.
Yeah, too busy wakeboarding. Drew, you know how it goes with stuff.
Yeah. It's got to be cleared by whatever. And what about the motorcycle company? Or maybe we have a contract with Yamaha. Or
no,
whatever.
It's not even that. It's just people. First off, you'd be surprised. The guy, I want blowhard turquoise guy. Like the guy with the big...
Know.
Could you see the turquoise?
Yeah, you couldn't. You could. Well, they actually cut away. I mean, I know they inserted in later, or maybe while you weren't looking, but they cut away to a close up of a belt buckle and a ring. When you started complaining about it.
So here's the. It's like one of these things where I said one of the guys I don't want watching the show is the big turquoise guy, the guy with the big turquoise nugget watch and the turquoise belt buckle and the bolo, and he's 125th Cherokee, and he's full of crap.
Now, way to Vegas.
This is the same guy. Yeah. It's all the same guy. It's 40-something, early 50s, salt and pepper hair, balding but with a ponytail. And he thinks he's stocky, but he's really kind of fat. But it's good to the big forearm guy with the belly, wears the jean shirt and tucks it in real tight.
Yeah.
Shows off that belt buckle. All this was explained, and it's like they get some good-looking guy, and he's like 30. And then it's like, well, where's his ponytail? I don't know. He didn't say. Well, you got to show the turquoise and stuff. It's right in the description. Then at a certain point, you're like, okay, just handle it. I'm moving forward. And then you're out there doing the show, and they just show a guy with the red shirt.
I know. In profile.
In profile!
Yeah, I know.
The whole thing, the whole bit is called, turquoise guy. He's got the big turquoise necklace. He's got the big turquoise belt buckle. He's got, and then you're just sitting up there doing the show, and it's like the show guy is sort of profile, and from where I'm sitting, there ain't a drop of turquoise to be found. And here's what ends up happening. What ends up happening is not only is it not good from a joke standpoint, but you're immediately like, you're angered now. It's like you want to call time out and go, what's going on? We've been working all day. What turquoise guy? You got a guy wearing a red shirt that you're showing from the side. Like, what?
Top notch.
Oh my God. I don't know. Here's all I do know is the people that do that kind of stuff, it's like you being a doctor, Drew. It's like you saying, give me lactate ringers and D5W walking away. And the person who's standing there is not a doctor. And they're like, I don't. Turquoise guy? Is he painted?
No. You get what you get is the same thing I get, which is you get a nurse or an assistant that can't speak English.
Well,
and then you're like, and you go and go, oh, my God, they didn't understand what I said.
Yes.
I mean, this is a basic link in getting the job done.
All right, let's talk to... thanks, Drew. Take it easy over there, by the way. Mark is 20, calling from Virginia. Mark?
Hey, hello?
Mark, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, hey, Adam. Doc and Drew, how's it going?
Good.
Hey.
Say
hi
to Puddle of Mud, by the way.
What was that?
What up, Mark?
Puddle of Mud.
Oh, Puddle of Mud's there. Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Calling from Iraq, correct?
No,
we're still there. We made it back.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet deal. Yeah, I heard about that. I wanted to let Adam give some feedback to you about your hosting job on the Late Late Show.
This is good. Yeah, go ahead.
It just finished airing over here in Springfield, Virginia. I wanted to let you know, I think you did a great job. It's just, it felt like the audience had no idea who you were. I was amazed.
What? They gave him a standing ovation when he walked out there.
Oh, they force him to do that.
No, that's the thing, yeah. I felt like I was cracking up over here at some of your jokes you're doing, but it felt like on CBS, they tell you what to say, correct?
No.
They tell you what to say?
Like, they put, like, the cue cards in front of you, and, like, they have to tell you, like, the jokes you have to say and stuff.
God. Oh, I wish it worked that way. I really do think people think that, you know, like Jimmy Kimmel just shows up at 7:30 in the evening and where's my cue cards for marked Wednesday?
Read
it.
You know,
and then you just stand there and read it. No, every single thing that came out of my mouth was something that I wrote.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there was anything that came out of my mouth that Drew, you saw it. Didn't seem like anything anyone else wrote.
No.
Did it?
In fact, if it seemed like some of a fair bit was unwritten, too.
Yes, because I was too lazy to write it. And we ran out of time. They just hold cue cards up and you read them.
That's what I was thinking, because I didn't think you were as funny as you could be, because I thought most of what you were saying was
love line compliments. Love line compliments are the best.
They're always the best. Why wasn't I as funny as I could have been?
Because I thought everything that you were saying was written by the writers. That's why I was thinking you're much hilarious on Love Line, because everything's like improv to you guys.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
That was even a bigger diss.
Yeah. All right.
So
well, thanks, Mark.
I just wanted to ask Adam, is there any decision yet as to if you're going to take the job or not?
No decision made. And if they're listening to this call, it's the deal is off. All right. I was
fire
my fault.
Fire your riders, man.
It was my fault for talking to Mark. Although overall, I think he gave it half like a very sheepish thumbs up. But
yeah.
Sit there and read the cards. By the way, Drew, didn't it sound like whatever I was saying?
Yeah, it did. It really did.
Yeah. What? I don't know what Mark's listening to. I mean, he doesn't have to love it, but it wasn't that much different sounding than what I'm doing now, is it?
None of that. I didn't see you look at any cards. You know what I mean? You were looking straight to camera.
Yeah, teleprompter, buddy. Yeah. All right, Puddle of Mud. Thank you, Drew. In studio tonight, you all right?
Yeah, I got something. Maybe it's Kimmel blowing smoke at me.
Oh, how's Puddle of Mud? You guys holding up okay?
Yeah, we're doing great, man.
I'm awake. Right.
They're in studio tonight. We're going to hear something off of Life on Display. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there in Washington, D.C. We got Greg and Wesley here from Puddle of Mud.
Hello.
And I was... Now, here was the whole deal. Puddle of Mud was supposed to come in here, fresh off their trip to Iraq, and we're going to take some calls from Iraq, and we haven't had any yet.
Yeah, Jeanette.
They're a little busy.
But I was told that we have one on line 6, and we did have one, and I looked down and I looked up, and it's the only call that's gone now.
Ugh.
So maybe she fell off. It says entry in progress, which means it's probably a new call. Let's just try this. Hello, Justin?
Hey.
You're calling from Minnesota?
Yep.
Hold on.
That's not Iraq. That's not
well,
Iraq.
But it's inching toward Iraq.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Well, yeah. Okay.
We're moving that direction. Yeah. Here's a call from New Jersey. That's probably even closer to Iraq.
Yep. Sure is.
All right. Let's take a question for the band. It's been guys been on hold for half an hour, or the girl, I should say, Shelley.
Yes.
27.
Yep.
What's up?
Not so much. I just actually talked to Wesley on Rockline Monday night.
Hey, what's going on?
Not so much. Okay, you guys have played at sold-out venues, have had your faces on NASCAR, and now have played for the troops overseas.
What's Hold on, you had your faces on NASCAR?
Yeah, we have Rusty Wallace drove the Miller Lite Puddle of Mud kind of collaboration car.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Really cool.
All right.
You can really see it. It was very fast.
Yeah, it was moving.
It was moving.
Shelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you want
to
know what's next?
Yep, what's next for Puddle of Mud?
Well, we're going to take a little bit of a kind of a chill since we've been on the road for such a long time. And and start the next record, and we're going to be doing our DVD, and all kinds of little projects are coming up real, real soon. So, you know, we just got to have a little bit of a rest for a second, you know.
They need, holiday season.
Yeah, they need a little them time.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks, Shelly.
Thank you.
Thank
right,
you.
Let's, oh, Janet over here was in Iraq with Puddle of
Jeanette,
Mud.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeanette.
Wow.
Jeanette?
Hello?
You're 31?
Yes.
Yes. Hello. You were in Iraq with Puddle of Mud?
Yeah, they were wonderful.
Hey, what's
they
going on?
Troopers.
What were you doing over there?
How are you all?
We oh, are,
Hold
on a second. Is she on a delay or something?
I don't know.
She's in Iraq.
So. No, she's calling from New Jersey.
Brian's an idiot, and he put that up there because that's where she lives, but she's in Iraq right now.
Oh, she's
in
Iraq.
So we got to forgive the one-second delay.
All right, it's Iraq, Jersey. All right, so there is a delay. Okay, now let's do it.
I still got your dog tag.
All right, Jeanette. So,
you do? That's wonderful.
So you remember meeting Jeanette?
Yeah, we were hanging out with her the whole time. She was helping us out, getting us our food and our drinks, and you know she's very, very sweet, and we very much enjoyed hanging out with her and the rest of the soldiers.
Jeanette.
And they were troopers too. I mean, they were swamped with everyone. They didn't stop signing autographs, taking pictures. I don't know where they had energy, because I know it took me a week to recover.
Well, we kept on going.
What's your job over there?
What's that?
Adam, you ask.
I'll do it. What is your job with the military?
Actually, right now I'm like sort of running a class one yard, which is subsistence. Mm-hmm. Food rations going out to other bases that don't have dining facilities or PXs or stuff like that.
I'll tell you, it's just
it's
like
hard to
the
bring
movies.
It down in layman's terms.
All right, Jeanette, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No, question,
guys.
Jeanette,
miss
huh?
You.
No, she just wanted to check in with Puddle
of
Mud.
We miss you. We hope you're doing good, Jeanette.
Well, Drew, we've talked to three people from that were in country thus far. One tonight, two on, I think, Monday night. Yeah. All three chicks, all three involved with office supplies.
Yeah. It's true.
I'm not belittling that, but... I thought when we were going to talk to Iraq, I thought we were going to talk to guys who were taking fire kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, the Puddle of Mud's laughing.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, first off, you know, it's weird. Call me old-fashioned. I wasn't picturing talking to women. So far, we've only spoken to women, and they've all been involved with, you know, they've all been in the rear with the gear, as they say. I'm looking for Johnny Ground Pounder. That's what I'm looking for.
We met a few of those, but like I said, I think that like a lot of those guys are pretty busy whenever, you know, they all look like they were pretty...
Blowing stuff up?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. Puddle Mud in studio. Drew in Washington, D.C. We'll be right back after this. Oh, yeah. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. tonight. We got Greg and Wesley here tonight from Puddle of Mud. Here's something else off the Life on Display CD. Let's see here. We got Lucas from Alaska. Wants to know how the band got started.
We're moving away from Iraq now.
Lucas?
Hello?
Who?
Lucas?
Hey, Lucas.
Hello?
What's up, Lucas?
I just have a question for the band.
Is you speaking quietly so someone doesn't hear you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I just want to know how you guys became, like, a band, you know?
There you go.
How you become a band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of get your drummer, and you get your guitars, and your bass player, and your singer.
Well, where'd you find them?
L.A. We all kind of moved to L.A. because... I'm from a place where, like, I graduated with, like, 17 people.
Oh, really?
Like, middle of nowhere. So...
Where?
Oklahoma, Kingston, Oklahoma. It's like this...
So, like, your school had, like, 80 people in it or something?
Yeah, one red light. There was a gas station.
Wow.
That kind of thing.
The light never turned green? It was just red?
It was unique because it went from red to green to yellow to green. You know what I mean?
So
you stopped at it and then we'd go yellow, then go to green.
And like, did you know the cops and stuff? Like, if you got pulled over?
I knew both of them, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Weird. And then so you moved from there to L.A. music?
Yeah, exactly. You know, because, like, I couldn't really find anybody that was...
None of the other 16 guys could rock?
No. They it was pretty slim pickings, so...
Wow. And by the way, did you grow up, like, on a farm or something? What did your folks do?
We had, like, 50 acres, but my mom had a restaurant, so I grew up in a restaurant. But I did work on farms and things like that.
What kind of restaurant? I'm guessing
like chicken
Thai.
Fried. Oh. Yeah, Thai. Yeah. It was like a Korean barbecue thing. In the lake.
It was just chicken fried everything.
Yeah, chicken fried everything.
Hubcaps, trash can lids. It didn't matter. We just chicken fried.
Chicken fried popcorn.
Ice cream. You name didn't it. Matter. You want scrambled eggs? Chicken fried. Fried. Coke.
Wow. Yeah, that's how the band got together. We were all, you know, this restaurant. We
at
met.
My mom's diner.
Yeah.
No, yeah. You guys all came out to L.A., right?
Yeah, for yeah. being, you know.
So everyone came out to L.A., and then what'd you do? Just start answering ads or looking for stuff?
No, we just started rocking.
Well, how'd you start rocking? You didn't know each other, did you?
Well, he met the bass player because the bass player was an intern in Interscope whenever he came. And
what's up, Doug?
Doug,
I know you're listening.
Is he listening?
Yeah, he's listening.
So Doug was working at the label.
Well, if you want to call interning, you're working for free.
Right.
Flew into L.A.,
right.
And then, you know, Doug was there interning, so he was heard about the mud through the grapevine, and then, you know, we kind of, Paul Phillips, the guitar player, kind of got into the mix there, and then Greg was the last, but not, you know, last person that we...
I've been kind of a gypsy.
He's the gypsy.
I played with different people. Mm-hmm.
So we got the Greg in there. It just kind of come, you know, just you just get it together how you can get it together, and then if it's...
I'm a whore.
If it's working, it's working. If it's not, you're going to have to, you know, try another direction, but it, you know, it happened to work, and then the next thing you know, we're rocking the soldiers in Iraq.
Well, the... I guess there's probably as many stories as there are bands, and people always want that answer, like, yeah. What's the formula for this?
There is
and
no formula.
The formula is just play your instrument, get out there, and stay busy. I mean,
well, I never turned down a gig, turned down any opportunity to play music, because I did everything, man. I did country gigs when I was 12.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I did ran the whole thing.
So you grew up like a musical family?
No.
No.
Wow.
No, I...
You just started playing drums early?
It just came to me, but got into music. I got into, like, Kiss and then Zeppelin and then the Beatles and that kind of stuff, and then...
Tell his mom deep-fried his Kiss album.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
And he ate it by
chicken
mistake
fried.
With
chicken
gravy
on
it.
You know, that was the thing, is they nobody was into the music at all. Like, my mother never listened to music. Nobody listened to it, but they were like...
They
didn't,
what you want.
Yeah, whatever. They didn't care.
Adam, is the consistent message we hear from bands, which is just they had to do it. This is what they were just like in them. They must do it. They went and did it.
I know. And like I said, everyone wants an answer, and the answer is just do it. Yeah. And let me ask you about chicken fried steak, which I'm always scared to order when I see, because I see steak
it.
And I think, well, that's steak, and then I hear chicken, and then I hear fried, and I think, what is a you know, what are they trying to get away with this steak that they have to bread it and deep fry? There's got to be something going on here. This can't be a good cut of beef. You know what I'm saying?
No way.
It's a cube steak.
It's a cube steak. So how do you do it? Do you pound the steak?
You pound the steak.
Pound it, and then you bread it,
yeah.
And then you deep fry it.
Yep.
And you can deep fry just about anything, and it'll taste great.
It is, and then you put gravy on it, right?
Yeah, but you want to make sure you have that nice white milky gravy,
right?
Creamy, white.
Flowery gravy.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, let's keep on going here. Stormy's been on hold for 80 minutes, calling from Oklahoma. By the way, Stormy.
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. I want to tell you guys I love you guys and I listen to you every night.
Thanks.
Cool.
And to the guys of Puddle and Mud, keep doing what you do. You guys rock.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You keep that chicken frying going over there in Oklahoma, too.
Have you ever had a chicken fried steak?
Yes.
You know, I've had a bite and that kind of stuff, but it's too big a commitment for me.
You need to go
on
Del Rancho.
Where is that?
Del Rancho in Oklahoma.
All right.
All over there.
I'm leaving tonight. I want to get the chicken fried steak. Go ahead,
Stormy. I
guess
it's an Oklahoman thing.
Yeah, they don't have it out here too much. What's up?
Okay, I'm manic depressive, and I want to be a psychologist. I was just wondering if me being manic is going to affect me being able to do the job.
It's going to affect it, but it doesn't prevent you from doing it, as long as you get that properly taken care of. You heard last night we had a caller who was a manic depressive therapist. Who was, was a prostitute and didn't see any problem with it. She had some character disorder, and the character disorder will significantly impair your ability to be a good therapist. You may have to find other ways to sort of use your mental health training than being an individual therapist. But merely being bipolar, that's something that's usually pretty well and easily controlled with medication.
I don't like the medication.
Well, what's the plan? Are you going to college?
It's my senior year of high school, but I plan on going to college and majoring in clinical psychology.
Mm-hmm. What college are you going to?
I want to go to NSU. It's here in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
MSU?
NSU.
NSU. What is that one? Do you know? You know what that one is, Greg?
No.
All right. Where is it? What city?
Nebraska State University.
Tahlequah.
Oh, of course.
Tahlequah? Northeast?
Yeah, Northeastern.
Wow. Getting deep now.
Tahlequah. I know Tahlequah like the back of...
Yeah.
Never mind.
Stormy.
Yes.
I could picture, like, you know what I picture? I picture it's like a school, like, where the guy, the dean, is also the janitor, is also the health teacher, is also the security guard, and he keeps switching hats. You know, like they do in those Mayberry shows, you know? Like where the guy goes, I want to talk to the judge. And he goes, well, I am the judge, too. And he takes his sheriff hat off.
Wait, that whole thing ended in 1979.
Oh,
that whole joke, yeah.
No one does that joke anymore?
No, that's over.
Well, I'm bringing it back.
With the soufflés.
Soufflé humor. All right. Well, you get that prestigious degree from Qualico State over there in northern Oklahoma.
Tahlequah.
And that is a golden ticket. That gets you in anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the lecture circuit. You're going to all the Ivy League schools. Simon & Schuster banging down your door. They want a book deal with you. All right. All right, baby doll. I don't know. Do they even use therapists in Oklahoma? Don't people just put some gravy on it and move on?
That's their ticket
out
of there.
Chicken fry it.
Chicken fry it. Rub a little gravy on that.
a little soul food. Good for your soul.
My father was verbally abusive. Rub a little gravy on that and keep going. All right. Let's talk to Celeste, who's 15. Celeste?
Yeah.
Wow. Is there anyone under 70 named Celeste?
No.
Hello?
Hello. Is Celeste the name of a grandparent or something?
No, my mom named me after a cashier.
A cashier?
A cashier?
Before she, she liked the name.
Mm-hmm. See?
I don't know.
People laugh at those name tags, but they work. They have an effect. okay, so... you're 15. Your boyfriend got drunk and cheated last week.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. How old's your boyfriend?
He's 16.
Well, 16.
You go.
How long has he been your boyfriend?
About 5 months.
And what do you mean by cheated?
He got to third base with another chick.
Third base.
What, he told what you about third it? Base?
Yeah, he called me and he told me about it the next day.
What?
Ooh.
Ooh, wow.
He's a keeper.
Third base is oral sex these days, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He called and told you for one of two reasons. Either he just wanted to break up with you or get you to break up with him, or this person was like a friend of yours or someone who...
You're going to find out. Yeah,
we're going to find out very shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
So which is it?
I don't know. He like called me the next day and was like begging me not to break up with him.
No, but did he tell you who he did this with?
No.
And you have no idea as far as, and you've never heard anything. It's not somebody you go to school with or a friend of yours.
No, I don't go to the same school as him.
Adam, I totally agree with you. Those are the only two options.
By the way, it could still be someone you go to school with. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, it could be someone you go to school with, even if you don't go to the same school as him. I think she was completely discounting my may know this person theory. Yeah. Celeste?
Yeah.
Okay. It's too bad our folks didn't name her after, like, an attorney or a doctor or something. I gotta believe it would have changed the trajectory of her
what
life.
What is her question?
Oh, I want to know if I should break up with him for it.
Well, let's say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, generally speaking, I think it's, you know, he's telling you something.
Yeah,
but
and,
it's and
why
you.
Do you
we
think? Why do you think he told you?
Oh, I don't know.
All right, all right. I know, Celeste, you're a delight. I hate to have to move on.
So here's the deal.
I can't talk to people with their sort of half syllable answers.
Yeah,
and
it's very simple. If he's into the relationship, he's committed to you, and he's had just a simple transgression here where he just feels remorseful, and he's willing to recommit himself, and you really do enjoy it, you give him a shot. But if this guy's been an a-hole the whole time, and we don't trust the reasons why he would tell you in the first place,
why would he?
You said it. Two reasons.
I know, but Celeste has sort of canceled out the second one, which is it's a friend or somebody she knew or someone who's going to get back to her,
right?
And then won't speculate at all over it. So,
right.
All right, break up. Here's the thing: if you don't break up, you definitely sent a weak message to him, which means next time he's going to fifth base.
Right.
Oh yes, there is a fifth base trip.
What is it?
I don't know. By the way,
Felcher,
10 seconds through, please. How dare you?
I'm just thinking.
You've offended the band. 10 seconds ago, I was looking at the screen, and we had a male caller from Iraq who was calling in, and I looked down, I looked back up again, and now they're gone. So just to dangle that in front of you, kiddies. Justin?
Hey.
You're 17?
Yep.
Hold on. All right. Tired of Justin already. Let's see. Natalie over here. Tight vagina. Current boyfriend makes her bleed. Meh. First 6 months of sex with boyfriend were awesome. Last 6 months were awful. Why?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Kate. Katie?
Yeah.
21.
Huh?
You're 21.
Yes, I am.
What's
just
going
having...
on? Yeah. All right. Hold on. True.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you, that doing the late, late show tonight was hard enough. I got nothing left in me. Yeah.
Kick back. Relax.
Somebody talk or somebody do something.
Relax. I can't pull the calls up.
I know. And I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you, but I got nothing left in me.
Yeah,
I got nothing
good.
Left
right.
in the tank.
Relax.
Well,
yeah, at least the listeners are all behind you. They're all behind you.
I know, but the callers aren't. I'm going to need someone to step up to the plate a little bit here.
All right.
Katie.
Yeah.
20.
There we go.
Here we go now.
There we go. Break it down.
Yeah. Break it down.
Kate.
Let's go.
Rock us.
All right. Basically, I've been dating my boyfriend for like a year and a half. The first 6 months of sex was great. And now, like, the last 6 months, every time he touches me, I totally feel like violated. I'll just push him away. Huh?
Tell us why.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm being, like, molested or something. Like,
have you ever been molested?
That's the thing. I don't know.
You don't know. So, one of the things that people have been molested will do is they will go from being very, very hypersexual and shift into sort of a shutdown mode.
That's
all
what
of a sudden.
I'm in. Verbally.
And Adam's completely in shutdown mode, sexually, spiritually, physically, everywhere.
Yeah.
But once you're actually in a relationship that starts to feel intimate, that's when the shutdown usually occurs. Is it that, or is it something about him, or is it something about what? You got to give us more to go on here.
Well, like, even with my last boyfriend, it was the same way. Sex was good at first, then towards the end of the relationship, it was all bad. No sex, nothing.
Stop thinking about it as sex, and think more in terms of globally about the relationship.
Oh, here's all I'm asking for, kiddies. I don't need you to be a doctor of psychology. All I need you to do is... don't be scared to scratch beneath the surface just a little bit. Here's what we do. Drew does his long-winded...
Life 101 type of thing.
Yes. Drew does his long-winded diatribe about victim, molestation, all this, and then says, what is it? And they say, well, my last boyfriend did the same thing. That's not the question we asked you. We asked you to delve just a little bit. Do a little soul searching. What's it going to be? Let's go. I don't care if your last 400 boyfriends did it. It's the same goddamn problem. And that's not the question.
And by the way, I'm not even asking you to delve deeply. I'm just asking you to choose amongst the options. Just choose. We'll throw the options to you.
I swear to God, Drew, I would talk less if I ran back and forth to another room and actually called the show and answered my own questions. It would be shorter, it would be more concise, and more to the point.
Yeah.
I think since it happens every time she goes out with some guy, she should just probably go to another guy so it'll be...
Every you know, six months.
And now she can, like, you know, she can have some good sex again. So just switch it up when she starts...
Pull him up. There you go.
Everybody wins.
Spoke like a true man. If the sex isn't good, it's not worth it.
Later.
Yeah. It's like racing tires or something. They wear out after a few laps. You go to a new set. You don't sit and stare at them and cry.
Especially if you already know it's going to be bad for the next 6 months. You might as well just go on and, you know... Get it, the good stuff back again.
All right, Kate, I have to torture myself by going back to you. Never molested.
As far as you know.
I don't know. That's the thing. I think I might have been, but I don't know. See, I was so young.
Well, you might be behaving like someone who has been.
So maybe you were. And why? Drew, tell her where my finger is poised right now.
It
before
must be
I
over
ask.
The hold button. And this is a question that you must answer or you will be put on hold.
Why do you think you may have been molested?
Well, my mom and my stepdad, well, I have a stepdad, and ever since I was little, like, ever since I've grown up with him, I always felt really uncomfortable walking by him. I felt like he was looking at me, like, really weird, and, like, he'd always walk in the bathroom on me when I was going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then one morning I woke up with my shirt off.
Ew.
When I was, like, 12, so I don't know if, like, all those could come together and...
That's certainly that's kind of a weird thing, being living with and being around a weird male all the time. And by the way, what happened to your biological father?
He's still in the picture. I mean, we have a good relationship and everything.
But back then, when you really needed him, where was he?
I don't know. Well, I don't know because I was so young. I didn't know what to do or anything. I never
no no. But where was your biological father when you were younger?
He was in another town.
Yeah, and maybe that has more to do with why you become fearful and shut down when you start to get close to somebody.
Yeah.
You fear intimacy because that means loss.
And creepy stepdad has got to be weird just to have a sort of rogue set of nuts walking up and down the hall like that's not daddy.
And Adam, you know what's starting to really irritate me and make me very angry is that...
Go girl.
Yeah. By the way, I was on Scarborough tonight and I lost my S. I was screaming.
Oh, really?
But what really gets me going is the fact that people cannot... We've sort of raised a whole generation thinking that sexuality is something that exists in a vacuum.
Right.
You can't evaluate it in the context of a relationship. It's like sex is this one thing and relationship is another. It's like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? They're very careful, very, very intimately tied.
Yeah.
So don't think about the sexuality. The sex is a sign. It's a sign. Right. It's a message that something's going wrong in the relationship. Look at the relationship and your emotional life.
And I was only kind of half listening, but I did try vacuum once when I was in high school. It kind of hurt, but I agree with you, Drew.
Adam, you'd mentioned it more than once.
Well, like I said, I was I got past the pain.
Did it work?
Well, the first time I pulled my nuts through my urethra, so that wasn't good. But I worked it out.
When it did work.
Yeah.
It didn't jam the equipment or anything?
No, it made that boot sound, but I like that universal vacuum sound. There's a thousand different makes of vacuums, but the only one
when that it means up.
It grabbed a ping pong ball or it stuck to the dog.
Or Adam's penis.
Or Adam's penis.
I was sort of thinking when you finished, did it mess up the machine?
Oh no, that was fine because we had the vortex one, so it just kind of stuck to the side.
Okay,
yeah,
that's nice.
It's bagless.
Yeah, bagless. Yeah. The thing about who the hell was it? Oh, Katie over here. Yeah, stop giving your dads a free pass. By the way, your biological dads, because it's always like. My stepdaddy's real creepy, but oh no, my dad? No, we're good. I mean, we're real tight. It's like, well, where's your step? Oh, he was somewhere in another town. Like, look, here's the key. Here, let me explain something. You don't need your parents once you become a senior in high school. You barely need them in the 10th grade. When you need them is sort of, forget about zero. You need your mom's zero. Let's just say you need pops to be around somewhere around 2 or 3 to about 10 or 11. After that, you don't really need them. Now, most of these guys cut out at age 2 and then resurface at 24 and, give them a couple of cards and a couple of bucks and a gas card and everything's cool now. Meanwhile, they're still pissed at their mom or their stepdad, whoever actually paid the bills, cleaned the house, and, took care of the school supplies.
And by the way, of course, the dad is relieved. It's like, my daughter, we have this great relationship now. He comes in and kisses your ass. And says, we're cool. We're friends. We're buds. Of course, that's easy.
Must be nice, too, by the way, just to, I'm going to Florida for 11 years. You're back there in KC. Yeah, go ahead and take care of the kid, and then when she gets old enough to take herself down to the airport and get on a plane and come out and visit me, I'll put a cot out for her, and everything will be cool, and we'll talk ass about stepdad.
We can get her a job, and she can pay part of the rent.
Yeah. Look, feel free to hate your biological dad for moving out of town during the formative years. And, by the way, leaving you with step pops. All right. Yeah. We'll take a little break. I'm fired up, but I'm cooling down now, Drew.
Good.
All right.
You feel better?
Nod your head, Drew.
I'm doing the nod.
Going to hear something from Puddle of Mud when we come back off the newish CD. All that after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Puddle of Mud in studio tonight. Wesley and Greg both here.
Man.
We're going to Drew's over there in Washington, D.C. tonight. We're going to, I'd say we'll take a call, and then we'll hear a Puddle of Mud song. All right? All right. Let's see.
Cool.
Found out girlfriend cheated on him 9 months ago. Yeah. Girlfriend's vagina stinks. Uh-oh.
Must have been.
Yeah, but that's Mike, you know, he's just a lug nut. Virgin has rape fantasies. Virgin with rape fantasies, huh?
Interesting. Right.
Janet or Jeanette?
That would be Jeanette.
Jeanette, what's happening?
I am 22. I'm a virgin, and ever since I was about 15, I've had fantasies of women being dominated by men, preferably, usually in a rather violent fashion.
Mm-hmm. Why are you still a virgin at 22?
I think implied morals, and just I'm not comfortable with it.
Implied morals?
Was that my parents are, raised Catholic and all that fun stuff.
Let's not blow it off. Were you raised under the notion that hell would sort of be in your...
No, my parents are actually surprisingly very supportive. Or just like, you know what, if you're going to do it, be smart.
maniacal Peter Lorre, scientist sidkick. Yeah,
Peter Lorre laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the laugh you get when you're like, go down to the basement and get more test tubes. Yeah, that's the one where, where the scientist says, I think we have company. It means you got like fresh organs coming in. All right. Hold on a second. I got to tell you, we're going to check with Jeanette. But at first, she was a virgin. She started off about 135, and she's now up to about 190 in my mind. I'm not getting late because I don't feel like it.
Not buying it?
That's a weight problem. Jeanette?
No, yes?
How much do you weigh?
I am 130.
130?
You're wrong. How dare you?
3'11", 130.
I'm 5'6".
5'6". Wow.
Have you had a boyfriend?
I've had a couple.
Mm-hmm. And what happens? No, are you committed to staying a virgin till marriage? Is that what you want to do?
No, I just believe the right moment, right person.
Mm-hmm. No oral sex?
Attempts.
I'm timid. I'm very timid. I'm
mouth
a
full of corduroy.
And the guys are always like they didn't
want to
be
dry oral
sort of thing.
Well, now wait a second. Now you've had guys attempt to give you oral sex. Have you attempted to give guys oral sex?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
It was all right.
It was messy.
Ooh, I didn't like it.
I'm sorry. I'm not being very descript.
All right.
Okay, getting over the taboo-ness of it. Okay.
All right. Well, let me say this, Jeanette. Were these boyfriends of yours? Were they long-term boyfriends?
Yeah.
So you're 22. Did you have a boyfriend at 21 for a year or something?
Yeah.
And just weird sort of failed attempts at oral sex?
I get timid. I'd be like, "Is this working for you? Really? Is it doing anything?" And they just be like, "Okay, just stop." And I'd be like, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know?
No.
Stuff like that.
Well, No. I don't know about that. No. I'm glad I don't know for a change. Usually I wish I knew, but this time, no. Turns out I don't want to know.
Perfectly fine with not knowing.
That's right. My penile ignorance is bliss.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. I feel like I'm a pretty well-adjusted, normal, shy person, and I'm having these really violent, bad fantasies. And I
well, there's something cooking.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
That's what I'm thinking. You
may have some repressed aggression or something. I mean, maybe there's something about you and why you are a virgin that all sort of ties together with why you're having these aggressive dreams, violent dreams.
Well, you're not giving anything.
You're just sort of telling us, oh, you know, well, I just, you know, the right thing didn't happen. Well, that's not right. That's no, the right thing, of course the right thing came along. You were having oral sex with guys, and for whatever reason, you didn't move it along. There's something about that that's uncomfortable, impossible. I don't know what for you, but you're not really thinking about it. You're not opening up to that.
Maybe subconsciously I want a more dominant guy.
All right.
The guys I've been with.
Well, why don't you
take charge of me?
All right. Why don't you go for that?
Well, that's another thing. I don't really want No offense.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, listen.
No offense taken.
I can't cure everybody. But here's the whole thing. You're 22. You're virgin. It's not like you're waiting till you get married. You have these thoughts of being dominated and rape fantasies. There's something brewing. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
You're not going for the kind of guy that you want to go for. How about taking charge of that a little bit and just not being so much at the whim of other people's attractions and asserting yourself a little bit?
I agree with Drew. Find a drifter rapist type.
Yeah, yeah.
So guy's blowing through town, wants to do a little raping.
Not into oral.
Then it's back to Nevada.
Right.
Yeah, not into oral. Yeah, a hair puller. I don't know. I feel like we're not doing our jobs, but maybe a little therapy, too. You're 22. You got a million issues.
But you know what? She's functioning well. She just...
All right. Well, she needs to focus on this
the way she excels at everything else in her life. I bet she's a perfectionist.
There's weird shame and stuff, though, involved with her and all this stuff that she needs to address.
But that deal is an aggressive guy, sort of an a-hole aggressive guy, takes her away, makes her not responsible for that bad part of herself that is the sexual part of herself, and so she can just sort of give herself into be swept away by it, when the fact is, the reality is that part of herself is just as fine as the rest of her. She just can't accept it and is ashamed of it, so she needs a bad guy to sort of take over that part for her.
Relax, buddy. It's getting pretty cathartic.
I really lost my ass on television tonight.
Drew, you lost. What you see around Scarborough Country?
Yeah.
Is that Scarborough? Is that the guy whose eyes look like two shaved vaginas?
No, I don't think so. That's not what I think of when I look at his eyes. I don't think about shaved vaginas.
He has as much lower lid as he has upper lid.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Drew. Michelle, punch up. What's his name? What's his first
name? Joseph Scarborough.
Punch up.
I was with Pat Buchanan, which is always interesting.
All right. And when can we find that, Drew?
That's already aired.
All right. Well, let's move forward then. We can't live in the past. Puddle of Mud is here tonight, by the way. We're going to hear a song from them off the newish CD, I call it, because it's coming up to a year old, about 10 months old, something like that. Life on Display is the name of the CD, and we're going to hear a little song called Cloud Nine. Jake doing some world-class drumming there.
Thank you, thank you.
Way to go, man. Angry drumming.
Thank you. I was drumming.
Chicken fried drumming.
Chicken fried drumming.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Well, it's about time for a break. Let me, I'll tease a call. Girlfriend wants to take a swingers. All right. Let's see. Oh, we got Iraq on 7.
Let's take it.
All right.
Let's do that.
It's not entered yet, so I don't know the name.
Well, we got
Chase?
Yes, hello, this is Chase.
Hey, Chase.
What's up, Chase?
Hey, Les, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
What's happening? What do you do over there in Iraq, Chase?
Well, I got the easy job of coordinator of entertainment for Iraq.
Yeah, that's a decent gig. And by the way, that's something you can parlay that into something. Like half the guys, you know, you talk to, they're like, "Well, I work on the gyroscopes on the rocketry componentry," and it's like, so when you get back into the private sector, where's your gig? You know, I mean, you're working a field radio. That's noble and everything, but what's the translation in real life? Go to work.
The thing that's, the thing that a lot of people don't know about all the soldiers that are over there in Iraq, even though they have these jobs that don't sound like they're doing, you know, they do, you know, this or that, they still walk around with, like, AR-15s and, you know, 9mm, and they still know how to, like, you know, fire their weapons properly and everything. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, they'll kill a man just to watch him die. That's clear.
Am I right about that, Chase?
Yeah, it's everybody's over here. It's a soldier first, and then you got to do the job that they need you to do. And so
did you work with Puddle of Mud when they were there?
I did. I did have the pleasure of being that guy that got to hang out with them and make sure they got in Iraq and got where they needed to be and had a good show. And I got the benefit of being in their hip pocket the whole time. So
yeah, given that he's the entertainment coordinator, maybe he can help us out tonight. Because the idea of this show, the entertainment part of this show, is we want to talk to people that are having interesting experiences or even have relationship problems because of what's going on over there, the fact they're over there. Isn't there anyone in your vicinity there that we can talk to?
Well, maybe Chase is.
Your relationship problems?
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing okay as far as, being married with kids and doing the military thing with my
soldiers.
Spouse,
let me explain, Drew. Soldiers have great relationships because they get married, they have a kid, and then they leave. But it's cool because they're not divorced. You know, they're not working on a fishing barge in Boca Raton. They're just
They're not going to Florida.
That's right. All right. So, hey, Chase, what time is it over there right now, by the way?
It's 9:42 in the morning.
9:42. And is that 942 hours or something?
Yeah. 0942.
And what's the temperature like?
Right now it's probably sitting pretty good at about 90-ish. It's cooler, but
that's
like
nice weather.
Ugh. And who do you got coming through there? Do you have some country singers or some NASCAR drivers or something?
Coming up is the USO Big Variety Tour with Wayne Newton and Neil McCoy and Rob Schneider. That's coming in here for a couple days.
Wow.
We're
going
to get them out and about to a couple locations. And coming up towards the end of the month will be a big tour with our Sergeant Major of the Army, and he brings an entourage with him and some actors and entertainers. Wow. So we're trying to accommodate everybody for the holidays coming up.
All right, so, Chase, you got one of the better gigs over there, right?
I do got it pretty good. I've gotten to coordinate work with some things like Toby Keith, and we've had 50 Cent come in, and obviously Puddle of Mud, and some cheerleaders, and
cheerleaders
with a lot of entertainment.
By the way, range-wise, you bringing Toby Keith, you're bringing 50 Cent, that's something for everybody.
I mean, and cheerleaders.
Officially, everybody falls in between musically. You got 50 Cent, you got Toby Keith. Everybody lands. I don't care what your taste is. It's going to fall somewhere in between those two.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Chase. We have Puddle of Mud out here just getting back from Iraq.
Thanks for watching our back, Chase.
Thanks, Chase.
Our own selves. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. We have Wesley and Greg in here tonight from Puddle O' Mud.
Hello.
Whoa, what's up?
Fresh off their mini tour of Iraq.
Iraq.
And let's see. Who's been on hold the longest, Drew? Well, I'm going to go with Justin. Unless I tease something. Did I tease something?
No.
We're going to get back to him. All right. Justin?
Hi.
17.
I got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dating my girlfriend for 9 months now. And a couple months ago, I found out that she cheated on me after the first month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I, right after I found out from her friend that was with her, mm-hmm. and she said that she was drinking, but not a lot, mm-hmm. that she was playing games with the guys, like making out and stuff. And this is when I was out of town, when I was on a cruise for a whole week. She only did it for one night, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your question?
Who who goes on a cruise at 16?
I went on a cruise when I was 18.
All right.
Wow. It was bad. Most terrifying experience of my life.
But it ain't 16.
No.
Your parents must really love you, Justin.
Well, they've been on a cruise before, and they just thought that they'd bring me and my brother and sister.
That's nice. So. Here's the thing. I think this happens a lot. There's a lot of screwing around in the early portion of a relationship because people aren't quite sure it's a relationship.
Right, of course.
Now, it's a little bit different at 16 and 17. This happens more often in, you know, mid-20s kind of thing.
Well,
that happened to me, you know, a long time ago. So.
It happens all the time, and then it counts as something but not a full
cheat.
It's an assist. You don't get a goal.
Yeah. But more than that, this. Remember that energy, Adam. I mean, if somebody you're totally into somebody and they made out with somebody else. Oh my god.
Well, she actually had sex with the guy.
She had sex.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying she was playing around with him, and then when she was drinking, that was when she started having sex.
She's a 16-year-old. She's drinking. She's having sex.
No, she's 18, and she's going to turn 19 in, like, within a month. And
what do you do with a 19-year-old?
Well, she just graduated last year, and I was a junior last year, so she was really only, like, a year older. I'm 17.
All right. And where does she have
college?
Huh?
She what college?
She's going to go to just a community college.
Yeah. That's junior college.
So what do you want to know, man?
If I should stay with her, and if I sometimes...
I don't think it's such a big deal.
I think you got your hands full a little bit, though. I think he may be sort of in a different place in his life than she is.
Well, first off, she's in junior college. And that's essentially, it's a prison.
Yeah.
It's a co-ed prison over there. It's a prison for dumb people, really. The population of prisons, probably, that's an insult to just call it a prison intellectually. There's actually smarter people in the joint than the JC. But it's also a sex farm over there, Drew. It's just a lot of people hooking up. That's all they do.
No doubt.
They don't study or anything. They just hang out, score weed, and have sex.
That's why they go.
And he's 17, and... He's going on cruises with his family, and she's going to junior college.
Yeah. Sounds like partying.
She may be from the other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
And,
she's from the city.
She kind of likes Justin because Justin's probably a little calmer, a little more normal, but she may not be done acting out for a while, and he may have his hands full.
Yeah, he has his hands full. And you're right, it isn't a big deal, but for him at 16 with this chick, yes, it is a big deal.
All right, so answer is... Don't get her pregnant. Don't get engaged. You can stay with her, but if she starts acting up, you're out.
Yeah.
All right?
And don't let her break your heart, man.
Right. And by the way, I know it's hard not to do this when you're 17 years old, but try to get on with your life. I mean, in terms of do not obsess over what she did half a year ago or 9 months ago. If you're going to be with her, then you're going to be with her. Let it go. Yeah. Move forward.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Michael, who's from Oxnard, 19. Michael?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thanks. Right. You know, I just wanted to thank you. I just ran through my first red left turn arrow on my way home from work.
Liberating,
way to go, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels very liberating. I feel free now.
Yeah, let me it's like a tampon commercial. let me tell you this, everybody. I'm putting my mic on. Anyone who listens to the show with any regularity knows I drive through red turn arrows because not when the signal's red, when the signal's green and the arrow is red and you're just sitting there for no apparent reason and there's no traffic coming the other direction, I think to myself, first off, I've probably turned left several hundred times at this very intersection before last year when they put the arrow up.
Right.
Now all of a sudden I can't do it or it's wrong. And here's the thing. It feels weird to do it your first handful of times, but eventually it's easy. It's like serial killing. It becomes easier as you do it. And the thing that's weird is you learn that there's nothing inherently wrong with it. Like,
right.
You sit in the car, and you stare at the arrow, and you have to wait for the goddamn signal to cycle all the way through sometimes. So it's not like you get to turn at the end of the thing. Sometimes it's green for a good long time, then yellow,
sometimes
then red.
Sometimes it forgets
you. Yeah, and you're just sitting there waiting for no reason. Here's all I'm saying. We're Americans. We're sober, most of us. We're adults. If it's clear and there's no traffic coming and there's no pedestrians, then and no cops, the fuzz cannot be around, then turn. But I can tell you this. I've done it now thousands of times. I do it. It's my policy. It's all I ever do. And you who don't do it are lemmings. Do you understand? Who are bowing to the man and not me. I'm a pioneer. I'm a mixture between Rosa Parks and Gandhi and Daryl Waltrip.
Daryl Pergandi.
He's a racer, Drew, and I had to work in a car thing there. Uh-huh. All right, let's take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Got Craig Puddle Mud all fired up about driving during the break.
Really?
I'm ready to get out there.
He's going
to
drive angry. Drive right into a semi. All right. Puddle
first
Mud.
First, got to watch Adam on Late Late Show.
Yeah. Thanks there, Drew. Drew in D.C. Drew, give me a call. I got to talk to you. You got my cell phone on me now. Puddle Mud, God bless you. Life on Display, name of the CD. Always good to see you guys.
Thanks for having
good
us.
Come back anytime.
Thanks for all the soldiers calling in.
Anytime you like, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.